Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to 3 John, verse 2 again, where I was last week, sharing on the prosperity of the soul. And verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And I've been sharing for quite a bit relative to healing and various things to do with that more recent weeks on the fact that we are redeemed from the curse. And there was a threefold curse with Adam's sin. It was a curse of spiritual death, separation from God. And in the old covenant, that didn't cover that. But in the new covenant, we receive eternal life and the gift of righteousness and the Holy Spirit, whereby we can partake the very life of God. But then also there was a curse on the human body, which when God spoke to Eve, he said, "You're going to have a sorrow in childbirth." But with that was also things relative to sickness and disease and such like. And then also the curse on the earth, when God spoke to Adam, the curse, that there's a curse on the earth, which is relative to poverty and the opposite of that, prosperity, or our needs being taken care of. So in redemption, we are free from the curse, that threefold curse that had come. The two parts of it dealt with in the old covenant or through the old covenant. And then that the spiritual life part could only be dealt with after the shed blood of Jesus Christ was applied, where we are redeemed and sin is taken out from us, that the Holy Spirit could then come in. Now, I say that a lot, but that bears much repetition, because as we hear other things in our lifetime, it creates like works mentality more than what you would realize. We need to understand those things and really have the revelation of it, that it's through the covenant. All those things are dealt with, but the spiritual blessing could not come until sin was first dealt with. That's why it's important to understand, when you begin to understand these concepts, that for someone to come to Christ, it's not just saying a prayer. It's not just going to church. It's the fact that you need to repent of your sin and have sin taken out from your spirit. And with it, the effects of it, separation from God, guilt, fear, condemnation, and all the rest of it. And then the Holy Spirit can come in and really do a work in our life. Well, the anointing's coming on me to preach here. yeah. So last week it brought us up to here, 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health. Now, if someone, there are those who erroneously teach, well, Christ didn't want to heal today, or you shouldn't pursue prosperity. Well, then why do you go to a doctor, and why do you work overtime and make extra money? You're trying to get out of the will of God? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. It's just dumb, let alone the fact it's ignorant of the scriptures. I wish above all things you would prosper and be in health, or you would rise above the curse that's on the earth, the curse to man, and walk in what Jesus provided for us. Hallelujah. Well, he says here, prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And the word "even as" in the Greek, the word kata, the same word as "according to," particularly that word's used in the Ephesian epistle. Certain things are according to other things. God had a plan according to a purpose. That's just one example of that. In other words, that something he's doing flows out from something else. And I illustrated, whenever I speak on that, illustrate that you have a spring of water come down the mountainside. As it keeps going, it picks up more water, more other springs, till it forms a creek and then a river. And I remember being up in the mountains and walking down the run to the west branch of Susquehanna. It's a 6-mile walk, and you see all these little streams adding together, and it ends up making a river. Until it gets down here, there's other rivers joining in. And it's a strong body of water, but it's according to something. It's proceeding out from something. Again, this is another important concept to grasp, because we need to understand that spiritual blessing comes from God. So if you're not looking to God and linking into to the flow of it, the source, then you're going to know about something, but never really tap into the benefit or the reality of it. So he's saying, I want you to prosper according to how your soul prospers. So to prosper in this life, it begins with a prosperity in our soul. Yes. Yeah, that which is the work of the Spirit in our soul is where it begins. Now, many times people, they'll do all these things in their own ability for health, or all these things in our own ability, money, and obsess about it. When you're in your own ability, you'll obsess about it. If you really look into God, you'll obsess about Him. When I say obsess, I mean that's what's dominating your thoughts, what's dominating your heart. And I see this so much. You have people where they want to be healthy, and they're just obsessed forever. Going to the gym. Oh, don't eat this, don't eat that. Well, those things are good, but it's not God's order to things that the prosperity first must begin in the soul and then flow out. Because the reality is you can have knowledge of, like, say there's 10 things relative to a certain situation, and you're doing 9 of them, and that one you're not doing is the one that kills you. The one thing you're not doing is what destroys your marriage. The one thing you're not doing right is what destroys your finances. But as we, as Spirit-filled Christians, we're led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost shows you what you need to do now rather than trying to operate from the mind. I'm going to figure it all out and try to do everything. And it's just operation of our own ability. But as we embrace the Holy Spirit, you gain the knowledge, but then let Him quicken that in you and bring the witness what you need to do right now. This is really a secret to a successful Christian life. Paying attention to the Holy Ghost and not operating in our mind, which is how the natural carnal man works. He operates out from his own mind. So we prosper and be in health according to, or even as your soul would prosper. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as you walk in truth. I rejoice greatly when I heard that truth working in you. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Now, when you love someone, you want what's best for them. You don't want them to learn the hard way and hurt themselves and all that. You want what's best for them. And when you understand that truth sets you free, that walking in truth is to walk with God, to walk in His power, His love, His wisdom, when we understand that concept, then we're listening for and looking. Is someone acknowledging truth? Or are they just going about their merry way doing what, you know, whatever they want to do, what they think at the moment? So as a person of spiritual understanding, you rejoice when you see someone's operating in some degree of truth, because that's going to produce fruit. And if you love them, you want to see the fruit. And if you love God, you want to see His people bearing fruit. So he says here, I rejoice when I heard the truth in you, even as, or again, it's according to you walking in the truth. How do you know you have truth in you? Well, you look at how you're walking. Quite simple. That's what that scripture just tells us. It's according to your walk. Now, the reason I'm drawing attention to this is we deceive ourselves a lot. Man deceives himself. Now, Satan will try to deceive you. And people will try to deceive you. Satan to get you away from God, so there's no word working in you to bring forth fruit, because he wants to steal the glory. People will try to deceive you, to take advantage of you, to use you, to get something from you. But then there's self-deception, where you want to believe something about yourself, or you want things to be a certain way, and you deceive yourself. And we need to be very much honest with ourselves and endeavor to always operate in truth, because to do so is to operate in God. Not to operate from our own thinking or an illusion, but in truth, in sincerity and honesty, upright before Him. So we recognize the truth in us by what we're walking in or by our actions. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. He said to judge according to that, to how people would walk and speak and live. And sometimes people say, well, don't judge me. It says 1 Corinthians 2:15, a spiritual man discerns, or it's the word judge, he judges all things. How do you know how to deal with anything if you don't judge where it's coming from? You have to discern. Now, the judgment Jesus was saying not to do is to condemn or punish someone. See, that's where we need to forgive. But we do need to judge all things so we know what to resist and what to submit to. So you have some people, they don't discern the Spirit of God trying to speak to them, but they'll be judgmental towards a person. Well, we need to judge the fruit. Your fruit testifies. You can think you're covering something up or doing certain things, but you can have self-deception. And James chapter 1 says, don't be hearers of the word only, deceiving your own selves, but be doers of the word. So what you're doing shows what is really working in you. And we need to exercise or develop walking in the Spirit and walking in truth. That is a purpose thing. Now, recently we started our school, and your teachers learn how to instruct and lead whatever their age group is, whether it's like 5-year-old, 7-year-old, whatever, how to learn certain things. And the other night, Donna flicked on a documentary about the 9/11, which tends to jerk my emotional chain. Makes me mad. You gotta see what they did to us. But anyway, there was a clip on there. It wasn't about this, but one in a moment showed President Bush, at the time President Bush, down in Florida with a group of like first graders. And, you know, he was trying to do something, and the words being brought in, the plane just hit the Twin Towers. And he had to decide, like, what do I do, you know? I felt for him with that. But it just, like, flashed into my mind, you know, how the teacher was going over saying certain words, and they're written down, and they're learning, it's probably like first grade or maybe in kindergarten, to pronounce letters and words and all that. And some of you have been involved with teaching those age levels before, and it's like ka 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 cat ka, re, 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 red, you know, and you do that, and you don't just say one time to the 5-year-old, say red, and then you're on to the next thing. It's over and over and over. It's repetition. It just sort of lodged into my mind here, that image when I saw that in that documentary. I hadn't even thought about it till right now. It just inspired in me. But you just have, like with kids, you have to repeat, 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 just to learn to form the right sounds. Right? Just to form the right, and you do it over and over and over and over again, and they learn to form the right sounds. And after a while, they just talk, you know, it's just part of them. When it comes to spiritual things, it works the same way. It's not just like, well, yeah, I heard that. I read that in the Bible. Well, yeah, I heard the preacher say that. No, it's focusing on that and getting it into your heart and doing it to where it's just a part of you. And so many Christians operate in the self-deception realm, thinking that because they know about something that it's a part of them or in them, and that's not the case. You know, you can have people learning their native language, and they can just, yeah, I know, but they don't pronounce words right. And, you think, no, where did they learn to talk? You know what I mean? I mean, I've thought that before. It's like, because different parts of the country have different things they say and don't say, which, by the way, around here, the tendency is to not pronounce a G at the end of a word. We'll say, I'm going fishing, instead of going fishing. But everywhere has their little things, you know. And you think, like, for me to say I'm going fishing, you know exactly what I just said. But someone from another country, they might kind of look and are thinking about what they just heard come out of your mouth, because it wasn't proper. Anyway, we have to be understand the concept here of working something into you, that then that's how you act, or my illustration was speak, or what you walk in is relative to what was worked in you. So again, if your approach is, well, just, I know that, I know that, I know that, you won't have much fruit. You won't be walking in much. So when it comes to something like healing or prosperity, we can know about it, but when you're put to the test, then you're going to find out what's in you. Are you in faith or unbelief, or what are you doing? You operate your own ability? You're going to trust God? What are you doing here? So the concepts I'm sharing here will take us out beyond assumption and mental ascent into a place of true faith, true love. Walking in the truth. So am I walking in the truth? Well, I just look at what you do and you see what's working in you. Now, Joshua 1:8 says to meditate in the word day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that's in the law. You have to meditate in it, which is to speak it to yourself, to speak it to yourself. If you're learning to talk, you have to say it over and over and over again. There's a certain company that has like thing to teach you another language. And I hear this on the radio every time I say it, Don. It's like, that's deceptive. It's not possible. Because I'll say, well, in 3 weeks, you can speak another language. It's like, no, you might learn a phrase like, where's the bathroom? You cannot converse in another language in 3 weeks. You have to say it over and over and over and over again. And if you're learning that, you have someone saying it over and over and over. And back when we had high school, I used the Abeka Video School for Spanish, because we'd have a Spanish teacher. And I sat in on the classes, and I took Spanish when I was in high school. And so a lot of that came back to me. But what's normal operations, you're learning to pronounce and say those things over and over. So some of the class time, just to say it over and over and over. La pluma, la pluma, la pluma. You know? That's a pen, by the way. You begin to do that, and it's in the repetition of it, in the practice of it, you develop that becoming a part of you. And I remember as I was sitting in his classes, I went down to Colombia for a missions trip, and they talked Spanish with whatever their accent of it was so fast, I'd pick out about one word out of eight. And I was sitting through Spanish 2 class, and I was like, oh, something about the church. She said something about the church, and it's just going so fast. But see, it wasn't worked in me like that yet. So it's in that practice of doing it. Now, again, if you just hear something, and maybe you did it once, and you don't continue to operate or do that thing, you get weaker with it. We need to understand that spiritual things are like muscles. You have to work them and develop them. And the more you use them, the stronger they get. Now, in the negative side, if you're in negative emotions, the more you express anger, it's going to get stronger in you. That's why you don't let kids express anger. They're in worldly psychology says, oh, yeah, go out and destroy something and get it out of you. No, you're just making it stronger. because you're acting upon it. You're exercising that emotion. We need to exercise ourselves spiritually. Now, a couple months ago, I was in a hospital for 3 weeks, pretty much just laying there. It was driving me nuts. I said, I gotta get out of here. You know, just laying there. And it didn't really dawn on me. Not using certain muscles for 3 weeks, I was weak in comparison to before it went in. Why? Because I didn't use my like leg muscles. I didn't use certain muscles. And they got weaker just in that short period of a time. Yes. I kind of, you look back, I was kind of amazed. Because I didn't think about that at the time. I was thinking about healing, not physical strength. And it's such an example that you could say no about faith. You could be able to quote every scripture in the Bible, but not really have strong faith. The strong faith is going to come as you exercise that muscle of faith, as you exercise that muscle of love. And when you're beginning to do something or learn something to acquire something, you have to be very purposed and deliberate and repetitious with it. So let's just say forgiveness, that's a command from the Lord, and that is part of the love walk. And you might look at how you handle yourself and realize, I'm not where I need to be here. Now, you will have those times in your life you pay attention to the Holy Spirit. You will realize at times, I'm not where I need to be in this area right now. So what you do is to begin to take that truth, look into the Word, speak it to yourself, meditate, get it on the inside of you, but then look for every opportunity to exercise it. So you're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off, Father, I forgive them, they know not what they do. Now you could do that, you could, and that makes you feel better for a moment, but it's going to be worse the next time because you're strengthening the muscle of whatever you want to call it. I just did, complaining. So we have to develop in this is to be very deliberate and purposed and repetitious. And you do it to where it becomes a part of you, where you're going to do it without thinking. Unconsciously you'll do. Unconsciously you'll respond with the confession of faith. Unconsciously, because it's a part of you. This is a concept relative to growing and maturing. Again, it's more easily seen and understood if you just look at training children to do something. Someone's going to learn something for the first time. Let's say you're taking a six-year-old to the bowling alley, and you were to show them, now here's how you do it, you know, step, step. You know, dip a little bit, throw, you know, follow through, whatever your instruction is. And the first time or two, they can say, yeah, I know, Dad. Yeah, I know. And it's a gutter ball. And you say, let me show you again. And you go over it and over it. I remember when Jared was about six, maybe, and, we're going to learn some things about baseball. How to throw, how to bat. And being a teacher, you know, teachers can be obnoxious sometimes. All right, just keep it down in the peanut gallery. But it's like you pick up a bat and you just do what you would do. And I know if you're swinging up, you're never going to hit the ball on the line. You're going to just... If you hit it at all, you're going to pop up. So I say, no, let me show you again. Let me show you again. Let me show you again. I don't know if you remember that, Jared. But I still remember being out in the yard there. We were renting that place in Redline. And it can frustrate someone, okay, which he didn't get frustrated. He knew I loved him and I was trying to help him. But you have to do it right repetitiously, where it becomes a normal thing, to swing right. That's your normal thing. It's part of you. And I don't care who it is or what, or say someone's going to learn to play guitar. It's like, no, you change chords like this. You go this chord, like that. Your fingers need to do this. And for me, when I was learning to play guitar, it was very difficult because previous I had done masonry work and the muscles in my hands, which you have little muscles everywhere, were all developed for grip, hold trowel, hammer, hold blocks out like this, weigh 40 pounds, and with your fingertips setting it down just perfectly. So I had fingers with muscles to grip. That is not conducive to playing a guitar, okay? In fact, the best guitar players are like guys with these long, skinny fingers, you know, no muscles on it, no grip. Anyway, it took me, I think, 8 months till I could play my first 3-chord song of learning to do those chords up and down, up and down. And it seemed impossible to me at times that my fingers were ever going to come in line to do that. But I believed in my teacher, and he kept telling me, if you keep doing this, your finger muscles will adapt or change to be able to do it. And I was so determined because I had a goal. I wanted to be able to worship at home, and especially at night with Donna and the boys sing worship songs. That's how they went to sleep every night. And it took a long time. And I never became Phil Keaggy. That wasn't my calling. Maybe some of you don't know who he is. He was like one of the best guitar players ever. But anyway, I liked his music. I liked to hear excellent guitarists like Mike Dacey later, different ones. But it seemed like an impossibility. But because I believed my teacher and submitted myself and did what he said, over and over and over, that took me longer. Eventually, I got it. You know, and then eventually, I could play songs. I didn't have to look at my fretboard hand. Yeah, I play songs with my eyes shut and just worship like that. But that took a long time. You know, if people don't learn to establish a certain goal they're moving towards to acquire a skill or a habit, you won't persevere. You won't. What's kind of sad is if people approach training children, well, we want them to be happy and not get frustrated. So we don't want to make them do anything they don't want to do. They'll never learn to do anything. So it's just a part of our growth and development is to persevere. And if we can't submit to anybody, we won't know where we're at. Because you can have a teacher saying, you almost got it. You're almost there. You're just saying that to keep me coming. So I keep paying you. No, they know what they're saying. They have understanding of what they're trying to instruct you in. Well, with spiritual things, the principle is all the same. We need to have the goal to please God. We have to start in the right place. Father, I want to please you. I'm born of your spirit. It's within me to bring glory to you, to please my heavenly Father. So we begin to see in his word, his will, how he wants to bless us. And we begin to see the commandments he'd want us to walk in, that we can bring glory to God. So we begin to do that. Well, guess what? In the beginning, you're going to be a little frustrated. Don't think you're just going to hear something once and wasn't like that to learn anything else. And it's not like that with this either. And our tendencies to deceive ourselves are very much great. I remember a guitar teacher talking about, you know, you have like these kids listen to Van Halen or somebody like that, and they try to mimic a certain run they would do on a guitar or something, but they really didn't understand music. They're just mimicking something that they saw. That's not the same thing. You know, to have it in you, you can make music if it's in you. You have to learn all of the various patterns and principles of it and learn to flow by inspiration and pull out that which is within you. Well, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, we have to learn the Word. Begins there, begins with a right desire, wanting to please God, being born again. We learn the Word, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we begin to draw out from the Holy Spirit working in us. So, the truth working in you is known by what you can walk out. So he rejoiced when he would see that. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He really does. We begin with the meditation of the Word, speaking it over to ourselves, but then look to how can I act upon this? Again, I think back in my own spiritual growth and development, and many times when I share, I'll reference things, because that's part of my life. That's part of what I learned. But the principles work the same. And as I look back, I know that I don't know how I knew to do this exactly, other than just the Word I was hearing was stirring that in my heart. But to focus and to act upon it. And really the exhortation today is, we have to move out beyond just knowing about truth. Or because you did something here and there, think you're still strong. You could have let it get weak. When it comes to faith, we want to, okay, we're to live by our faith. So you look at everything you're encountering through your whole walk. What could God do with this situation? And we begin to speak faith, act in faith, release faith relative to that situation. Whether it's you walking in something or praying for someone else, whatever it would be. When it comes to the love walk, same thing. I remember I was still doing masonry at the time, young believer, really digging into the Word. And I got this four tape set of Kenneth Copeland on walking in love. And I don't know, it seems like, you know, we have such availability of things to put into our spirit, the Word to listen to, yet I don't think people do anywhere close to where we did like 40-something, 50 years ago, because the cassette tape was like revolution. How do you remember that? I mean, you get teaching tapes, and I listen over and over and over and over again. You know, if you're out pursuing worldly pleasure, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be listening to the Word. There's a certain self-denial. And if we think, well, I should just be running and play all the time and just have fun, well, you can do that, but you're going to be a spiritual weakling. So in those times, I remember listening to Brother Copeland share this stuff and principles that are walking in love. And I was like an apprentice at the time doing masonry work. And the guy I was working for, he was all about the dollar bill. And any little mistake, that was a penny out of his pocket in his mind. In other words, by that, I mean like, well, I could go back and fix something. That was like a dollar out of his wallet in his mind. Even though I knew how much I was producing, I knew how much he was paying me, I knew I was making him money. I wasn't losing him any money, or he wouldn't have had me there. But anyway, he was so high strung, such like a irritable guy. And I'd be listening to that stuff even while I'm driving to the job site. And he'd start getting wound up, and I'd just look down the wall. We were both laying, you know, on the wall. Smile at him. Yeah. And that made him madder than ever, because he was used to like kind of person like getting wound up and saying stuff and like to try to make people produce more. You know, all that does make you make more mistakes. It doesn't make you work hard. In fact, it makes you not want to work for somebody like that. And my mind was so renewed about the word walking in love that I'd just be, yeah, he'd be getting all fussed up, and I'd just stand there and smile at him. And tick him off even more. And he wasn't necessarily mad at me. He was just mad, you know. Just, some people walk through their whole life mad. So then anything that doesn't go just the way they want, it's just the opportunity for them to exercise that muscle of anger in their life because they're angry people. So and at one time, I think it was like a window jam. Maybe I had a brick was cocked a little bit, and he pointed out, I said, yeah, you're right. So I just fixed it, you know. Took about 2 seconds. I think, what, did he lose a penny? I but it was in purposing not to respond, because what people will do is respond with a defense. They'll respond with an excuse. They'll, you know, respond back with anger or an attitude at somebody else. Or maybe their response is they just don't talk. Well, that's like manipulation, just the same. Don't lie to yourself. You're communicating something back. You're communicating, I don't want to talk to you. It's still a wrong attitude. So I was very purposed, because I had this guy testing me, because that was his nature, okay, constantly. But I was focused because I was meditating in that word, and it was getting so strong in me that it was like an opportunity. Going to work was an opportunity for me to walk in love rather than, oh, no, I got to go be around this guy again. Can't wait to get out of here. No, I was like excited to go and operate in love. And as I'm speaking this, just like coming back to me, I'm just remembering this. And, you know, this was, I don't know, 45 years ago, whatever it was, maybe longer. But I was exercising that muscle, the muscle of love. And when it comes to especially faith and love, with faith, you can get very weak. You don't know it, but because you have mental knowledge, you can think you're strong and you're not. Romans 4 speaks of Abraham, who was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, but it took him 25 years to get to that point. God remembers how you finish, not all the times you're falling down. So he developed a strength of faith. Now, as I'm sharing this, apply it to yourself. I think I shared last week with you that we need to, in being doers of the word, it should change how we hear the word. Are you just hearing about something your wife needs to do? Or are you hearing about something your boss needs to do? Or are you hearing what I need to do? How can I act on the word? Oh, so-and-so sure needs to hear this today. No, we all need to hear it every day. Lord, how can I be a doer of the word with what I'm hearing? I think when I mentioned that, I mentioned about, it really stood out to me when I first went to Nigeria. That was something Brother Ema had a hold of. And at the end of each teaching time, one of the leaders would come up and give like a little 2 or 3 minute summary and then and speak of how we can act upon it. That really struck me. It's like, well, I never heard anybody doing that before like that. But I try to, every time I teach, give example and encouragement as to how to apply it to your life. Because just to hear about something can actually feed self-deception. Well, yeah, I know. But we have to couple with that, what am I to do with this? What am I to act upon? How do I, when I walk away from this, what can I implement in being a doer of the word? Excuse me. Being a doer of the word, because that's where our growth and strength is going to develop. It's not just hearing about it. If you're just a hearer, you know what you'll begin to develop? I don't need to keep hearing the word as much. That's how you begin to think. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. But when you're focused on being a doer, you'll realize I need to hear more. I've been enjoying that, being I hadn't had some physical limitations in recent months. The main thing I've been doing is just hearing the word, meditating, listening to worship. I say that's the main thing, what I do all day long right now. Oh, I'd like to be able to do other things more, but that's not where I'm at right now. But praise God, that's a good place to be. Because in that, the developing, hearing the voice of God is accelerating. I don't mind being bold to say that to you, because it's the truth. It's the truth for me. I can say that's the truth. We should have that kind of testimony. The more you're conscious of being a doer of the word, you will be more conscious. I need to hear the word more. I need to dwell there, live there. So that out of the abundance of my heart is going to come out of my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart is going to come out through my walk and my actions. Well, your soul will prosper according to the word going in. And the fruitfulness will be according to what you're walking out. Verse 5, I'll just finish with this. Beloved, what you do faithfully, whatsoever you do to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of your charity before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. There was the testimony of those he was writing to. They walked in love. It was a witness to by others. It's not just you saying you're doing it. Others bore witness to it. He said, I've heard you're walking in love. Your charity, it's the same as agape. Agape love. Your giving of yourself. There is the testimony developed because you're walking in it. Now, previous to that, he said, I've heard you're walking in the truth. I rejoice greatly. Now he follows that up with a specific thing here. They're walking in love. That's the testimony. That's what's being spoken about you. So that was an encouragement. Encouragement to them. There are sometimes people might say certain things that I take as a compliment and an encouragement. Just their observation. Not like purposing to try to encourage me, but just in an observation, like, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I'm carrying peace or joy or whatever, praise the Lord. Testimony to the Lord, to the truth of the Spirit of God working. Remember, he's called the Spirit of Truth. He'll lead and guide you in the truth. He empowers you to walk in the light of the truth. And as we will walk in the light of the truth, particularly walking in faith, walking in love, will be fruitful for the glory of God.